Hello everyone, welcome to the NRF1 podcast on Acast, on iTunes and all across the world wide web, because I've been busy putting the podcast on as many podcast directories as you can find and name. Some would say I've been getting busy with it. Getting busy with it. Getting busy with it. Yeah, we didn't rehearse that, but awesome. You probably can tell just from those little tuneful ditties that we've got Perry Hamilton and Richard Baxter in the pod. We're in a kind of a fishbowl, so it might sound a bit fishbowly. And we are the F1 fishes in the Norfolk Bowl of podness. And we're here to look ahead to the Canadian Grand Prix 2016. We've got lots of news to catch up with first, but gents, are you well? Paid you well?
Very well, thank you, Michael. Yes, very well indeed. Happy to be back, as you know, as regular listeners from over 2 years ago will know, Canada is probably one of my top three circuits in the world. So there was no way that I was missing this one. Love Canada.
I knew you'd be back in for this one. I knew it. And the good thing is you and both DT back in the fold now. It means that the karting video that I still haven't finished editing is back up to date because obviously you and DT are both in it.
Relevant.
And sadly, Rich, we have no budget to do it again. So then the new crew miss out, but that's a shame. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good. You mentioned the budget there. I mean, there is always a way people could kind of help us on that if they wanted to see us go karting, isn't there?
There is, which we will get to in a bit. Top man, love the segue, love the work. Before we get stuck into Canada, let's go through the news. I've got a massive list of news. There's loads of news. So let's start off. There's one bit I saw, I think it was a column from Alan McNish, suggesting that Red Bull are now the real competitors to Mercedes and their drivers' titles. Now, I guess the questions are they? And B, how much? Because it's still all Mercedes, isn't it?
They're the closest. And I think that's the best thing you can say about them. People wanting to see a jump or a gap close, that's what you've got from Red Bull. But really, I think it's good. And I don't think anyone's that surprised. Everyone was touting Ferrari, and that was just because there was such a huge shake-up managerially at Ferrari and administratively. When you're bringing in Arriva Bene and you're getting rid of all the top brass and bringing in a whole new team, everyone's thinking, well, now you're going to have results, aren't you? And it hasn't really manifested. But, you know, Red Bull, they know how to win. They know how to have a consistent culture of success. And you know that they will just keep plugging away, finding a problem, overcoming it. Just like, for example, the engine. Renault engine was rubbish. Find a solution, which is just renaming it. But actually, whilst we were all distracted with the renaming side of it, they were putting their foot up Renault's backsides and getting a decent engine out of them, which they kind of now have.
Yeah, naming it after a watch. That's probably the way to go, really. And we forget, I suppose, because of the dominance of Mercedes so recently, you know, Red Bull have a pedigree here in the last decade of winning a lot. And they're probably, it's like muscle memory. They're remembering what it's like to win now that, you know, they're clearly closer than a lot of teams to Mercedes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know they were talking about the big new engine, they've kind of the power boost they've got in their engine anyway, that they introduced for Ricciardo and Magnussen, I think it was in Monaco. It's going to be interesting to see how that reacts on a circuit which really is kind of power efficient, if that's the right words.
Indeed, yeah. Kevin Magnussen with the Renault team, because they only got one Renault engine, or Tag Heuer Renault engine, per team. So, I mean, Kevin was doing pretty well until he drove into a wall, which was something that the Renault cars did a lot of around Monaco. Daniel Ricciardo, I want to touch on this, because there were a lot of stories after his... it wasn't a meltdown, because he was brilliant, but the team kind of melted down around him, which was the issue. His face, he was angry, he said a lot of things. I didn't think he was particularly harsh, overly harsh, but his face just screamed at me, am I going to actually get to where I want to get with Red Bull? So in a way, in a counter to what we've just been talking about. And the same way that Lewis was at McLaren, and I think it was Singapore, wasn't it, where it just didn't happen for him. And from that point on, he basically felt, you know what, sod this, I'm off to Mercedes. And it looked like a gamble, proved true. But he felt that McLaren, in the state they were, couldn't get him to where he wanted to go. And the face of Daniel Ricciardo just said the same thing to me. It's like, I don't think I can get to where I want to go with Red Bull at this point in time.
Then the only, I mean, realistically, at this point in time, the only team that he will get where he wants to go is Mercedes. And I don't see them having a vacant space next year. I see them holding on to Lewis, I see them holding on to Nico, especially, I mean, Nico would have been my question if Lewis had continued his run of winning that took him to, you know, the double world championship. But Nico had that storming run of form end of last season, beginning of this season. I don't think we've seen the last of Nico. You've got a proven race winner, a championship contender. You're not going to shop him for someone like Daniel Ricciardo. The only reason that could happen is if Rosberg gets upset at being perceived as a number two driver, and if if there are a couple of calls in the rest of the season that don't go Rosberg's way because Lewis is on a charge, and Rosberg perceives that Mercedes have pulled the championship out from under him, maybe Rosberg could make a power play and force his hand and go elsewhere. But realistically, Mercedes is the only place that gives you the best chance to win a championship at the moment.
He needs to make sure he's not 3 seconds a lap slower than Lewis. That would be a good starting point. I mean, Nico's contract is kind of up for renewal next year, but you know, Mercedes probably wouldn't want to not have a German in their cars.
No, I don't think that would go down too well with their home fans, really. Because, of course, they do, like the previous said, two German drivers when they had Schumacher and Rosberg. But on the Ricciardo sign,
fine, I'll allow both. I've eased up on it.
But with him, I mean, sometimes I think it takes a decent driver to be within the team to then give that team a kick to get them back to their winning ways. Because, I mean, you saw Damon Hill in 97 with Arrows. The car wasn't really there. And somehow he went to Hungary and he managed to kind of do something with it. And he was getting a few decent results at times. I mean, you saw with Jordan as well, he managed a few races. He got it on. You won the race in Belgium, of course. I bring this up because obviously he's my favourite driver.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean,
you
can say the same about Schumacher with Ferrari back in when he joined in 95, was it, I think?
So then I suppose the question there, Rich, is Ricciardo that guy or is it now Verstappen? Is Verstappen that, you know, young race winner, Hungary? Experienced pedigree. You know what I mean? His father was a racer. He's come through the Young Driver Academy and they are focusing on him. He's come in. He's provided the spark, not Ricciardo.
Especially as Daniel probably feels that Max fluked in a way his win because it was so out of the blue and he felt he should have won that race but for something that went wrong. And then you get something else goes wrong in Monaco when he's had a completely perfect weekend.
Yeah, he would have won Monaco as well because if you look, he just came out behind Hamilton and his pit stop was 10 seconds slower or whatever it was.
Yeah, 13 seconds. Yes. 13 seconds for a pit stop.
And that, you know, that cost him dear. But of course, he needs to stay strong and react because we saw what happened to Vettel when Ricciardo came into their team. He put Vettel under pressure. Vettel then left to Ferrari. And we haven't really seen overly too much from him since.
Just imagine if Daniel Ricciardo won the last two races. It'd have been very, very interesting, wouldn't it, in the title shake-up. Talk about Ferrari then. Apparently the Italian press say they're in crisis. There's been talk actually this week Sergio Perez could be replacing Kimi Raikkonen next year, which would seem like a good shout the way Sergio's racing. He says he's in the best form of his life.
Yeah, I don't see Kimi being there next year. He's not been the Kimi that Ferrari knew when he was there, you know, winning world champion. But the car isn't the car that Kimi knew when he won the world championship. So it's a very different situation. Kimi just wants to get out on track and race, and he wants a car that's consistent. And I think for Kimi, obviously I don't know the guy personally, but just you get the feeling that as a racer, he would rather, you know, looking when he drove that Lotus. That Lotus was not necessarily a race-winning car, but it was more consistent. And if you give Kimi something that's at least consistent, and he'll do good things with it. The problem he's got with the Ferrari is it just keeps falling apart on him.
It does, and they push the boundary in the winter compared to last year, which seems to be costing them, and certainly Sebastian as well, who has really done nothing so far this season. Quick mention here, Mick Schumacher, 17-year-old son of Michael, claimed 2 wins in one day in Saturday in the German Formula 4 Championships, and now has 3 wins in a German F4 this season. Picked up a victory in the opening weekend in April. I think there's going to be quite the clamour for Mr. Master Mick Schumacher over the coming years, almost certainly. We touched on this before as well. Lots of McLaren media. It's their 50th birthday. Lots of talk. A nice interview with from the BBC. Tom Clarkson, I think, did it with Ron Dennis talking about his succession. You just really realise the depth that Ron put that team together and what he did with it and the fact that he considers it a succession plan for when he leaves, basically for the entire business. He's drafting in everyone to do all the different bits of McLaren for him. But there's a little bit of a link here because the suggestion is we're obviously getting stuck into the driver's market for 2017. Felipe Massa could be replaced at Williams by Jenson Button because Stoffel Vandoorne seems a shoe-in at McLaren next season. Would you say that's true?
I don't know. There was also talk that Jenson Button's now going to host Top Gear. So
that's not going to happen.
But
is it?
It's that same kind of thing. It's a lot of gossip. I mean, I can see why they want to bring Vandoorne in, but then Button's been such a good servant to the team, would they drop him? Well, I say that. It's Formula One. You never know after what we've seen, especially this season. But I'd like to see Button stay at McLaren, but he has said in the past he would like to go back to Williams, so I mean there is the possibility there, definitely.
I do think it will be Van Dorn who gets the call at McLaren
definitely
next year.
Yeah, definitely. And he's shown once in a race that he can do well, kept his head, kept cool, did what needed to be done. Could he be a race winner for them? We haven't seen enough to know that. Is he going to challenge Alonso? Probably not to begin with, so it would give Alonso his number one driver status. JB going to Williams, you know, British institution at a British institution, is absolutely wonderful. British fans of Formula One would love that, especially since arguably the Williams has been more successful than the McLaren over the last few seasons. You know, it would be a great thing to see. The only thing is, got to remember, Formula One is a business, and Jensen is really well respected and well loved in Japan, and that's who makes McLaren's engines. So there is that element of, you know, Honda may have a say in who stays and who goes.
Though not, of course, sadly, Jensen's wife anymore.
No.
Sad times. No. Sad times. Have any of us watched the new Top Gear?
I watched the first one. And I haven't watched the second one.
Exactly.
It's not that bad. It's not that good. It's really nice cars, filmed really, really good cinematography, loud people shouting at the camera, and an audience cheering everything, regardless of whether it's worth cheering or not. It's Top Gear.
It's the same Top Gear we always knew.
I saw both. To be honest, the first one I didn't like. I was bored. More bored than Formula One, to be honest.
You can't say that on a Formula One podcast, Rich.
I should put that in the context. People say to me, how can you be bored when you watch Formula One? So, because they find Formula One boring, but I was more bored than that than
God,
I'd
yeah.
be watching. Yeah.
So, beautiful.
Yeah. Glad you followed that.
But the second one was better, but two things, Stop Shouting and Eddie Jordan. Why?
Oh, do you know what? Yeah, completely. I haven't seen it yet, but why? Why Eddie Jordan? Just in general. I mean, that's not a Top Gear specific question. That's an overall specific question. Why Eddie Jordan?
I can't remember if we touched on it in our Monaco review, but Eddie Jordan sort of appeared. He had David Coulthard found him on the grid, on his grid walk, said, oh, here's Eddie Jordan. Let's get a word with him. 10 seconds. Thanks, Eddie. And that was it. And I was like, well, that was weird. It was just really weird that they didn't spend that long with him and all that sort of stuff. But there we go. What else? Other news. Still loads of news. Jules Bianchi's family are going to sue Formula One, I think, and Manor and a few outfits over Jules Bianchi's crash, because they obviously feel that it was a lack of care and attention, which is kind of there's an unwritten rule, I think, in Formula One that the dangers are accepted. But clearly the family feel that it was more than that. It would be very interesting to see how that pans out, because that's a really difficult situation, of course, for all concerned. Richard, here's one. Pastor Maldonado, he wants a return to Formula One, and Manor are the suggested destination. Christ.
Yeah, one of the teams which is definitely one of the fastest in a straight line, as they were described as like a rocket, I think it was described as earlier in the season. And you think that could actually be a rocket going vertically if Maldonado gets behind the wheel. That's going to be quite dangerous, but I did also see Massa shared a video of his son, and Maldonado was the pit stop man. He was using a vacuum cleaner, a handheld vacuum cleaner, as the wheel gun. So
good.
Maybe he'll be a pit stop man.
That might actually be how Pasta thinks they're done. I mean, he wasn't very good. That's probably what he thinks they use, in all honesty. Probably thinks it sucks up the brake dust or something. I don't know. Anyway, Pasta, if you're listening, yes, that's what I think of you. That is what I think of you. Keep Pasta out of Formula One. What are we doing? You already got someone like Rio Haryanto. Now, actually, we're a little bit dubious about Rio coming in, because we thought, oh, he's only in with the money. He's not going to, you know, he's the seat. He's not going to be that good. He's taking it to Wehrlein. I mean, he's really giving Wehrlein something to think about. But who are you going to drop from that team? Wehrlein's shown a huge amount of promise, and Rio brings in the money. Pasta brings in the money. So you're going to drop Wehrlein. Here's your legitimate shot at being a competitive racing outfit.
And Mercedes aren't going to like that, of course, because they supply man of their engines.
Exactly. They might not even have that option, to be honest, if it is part of the engine deal. Fascinating. Pasta, just keep knocking on the door, Pasta. I would love to see you back in Formula One, because just think of the airtime he'd get.
I would prefer a Heikki Kovalainen return. I could probably give you a number. I'd like to see Kamui Kobayashi back in Formula One. I'd like to see Heikki Kovalainen back in Formula One. I'd like to see Nick Heidfeld back in Formula One. And most of these guys are past it now. I would rather see those guys back in Formula One than Pastor Maldonado, because those guys cared. They mattered. They tried. They were good. Pasta's rubbish.
Quick, Nick.
Over Pasta, yes.
Quick Nick over pasta. It's like a dinner, Italian dinner.
I don't mind Hyde-Fed. I thought it was all right. It was
boring, but all right.
Boring, exactly. What you want is crashes.
No, that endangers people.
Yeah, not bad crashes.
Kobayashi, because he had, was it Kobayashi, wasn't it, his nickname? He's not, you know, afraid of a bit of contact.
Exactly, diving down the inside.
He was quick, he could get results. Whereas Maldonado just seemed to get bored and look away and fall onto some ground.
But I will say, he did get a race win. And I don't believe Kobayashi or Heidfeld have ever had a race win. I'm not even sure Heidfeld ever had a finish. But
Heidfeld did win. I can Google it.
Google it, Rich. You go. Didn't Kamui Kobayashi have a whole racing fund that his fans had built up for him? I don't know if he ever used it.
Yeah, people did. It was like a Kickstarter thing to get Kamui back into Formula One.
Do you think it's still sitting there, like a pot ready to go?
I think he'd probably...
The interest would probably be good on it now.
Too respectful to use it, isn't he? I think. Everyone probably got refunded.
Yeah. Let's hope so. Otherwise, it's just sitting in a pot. Someone's making some money out of it.
Oh, no, I'm wrong. He never got a win. 13 podiums, but he never won.
That rings a bell, like most podiums without a win or something silly like that.
You got a pole position and two fastest laps.
What more do you want? Quick Nick.
I've got more. Jaime Alguersuari. Sebastian Buemi. Bourdais. I'd rather have Bourdais. But yeah, you remember him. Absolutely. I'd rather have Nelson Piquet Crashman Jr. back in Formula One than Pastor Maldonado. And you could pay him to crash. Pastor would do that for free.
What was the first one you said? Who were the first ones you said there?
Jaime Alguersuari.
Yeah, I think he's too busy DJing now. He'd need like decks in his car.
Get back in the car. Get back in the car. What are you playing at?
What about Vern?
Oh, Jev, yeah, rocking. I'd have
him. He'd do that straight out of Formula E.
Absolutely. Well, and he's
I
also
have contacts
Ferrari,
in Formula E. He's
Ferrari,
doing quite well.
Ferrari backup driver, isn't he? Ferrari test driver, Jev.
He is.
He was with the Ferrari team at Monaco. I think it was either Monaco or Spain. I saw him floating around backstage, and they had a little chat with him.
Literally.
Yeah, they had a little. Well, he was not floating, but literally.
This is the point now. The last time I saw Frank Williams in the Williams garage, he was standing on a Segway. It was amazing, because normally he's in a wheelchair. He was standing in a sort of a frame with a Segway.
That's brilliant.
I just thought it was fantastic.
Do you think it's taken them this long of owning one of the most technologically advanced outfits on the planet to go, Frank, we could probably do something for you there, mate?
I just think, yes.
Like, how long has it taken them to go, we have all this technology and this workshop where we can pretty much build what we want, and they haven't gone, no. And also, it's all wheel-based, isn't it? And they haven't gone, hold on a minute, Frank, we can do you better than that.
Hello.
Let's hope they're working so much on the car, they kind of didn't think of that.
Well, yeah, well, we can hope, but, you know.
They basically got a 2016 car building program and then Frank's wheels program. They couldn't run them simultaneously.
That was like a 60-40 basis for all the attention.
Well, there's only one R&D department, so, you know, got to share your resources. Anyway... New Pirelli tyres. This came out back at Monaco. Wider, thicker tyres. Just briefly, do we like the looks of those? Did you see the pictures?
I did, yeah. I thought it looked quite interesting. It's going to be interesting, especially with Monaco and Singapore, narrower circuits with wider cars. But it's going to be nice to see more grip from the tyres, hopefully. And it's going to kind of go back to the old 80s, 90s period where you've got massive rear wheels and smaller front wheels. I was going to say tiny, but they're not really so tiny, are they? But
they look brilliant, I thought. I quite like the low profile tyres, but I don't think we'll ever see those. I should also say as well, we've already got the Singapore tyre compounds decided. Singapore's in September. Oh, it's coming around so quickly. And B, there's a video which we will repost on the Facebook page, facebook.com/NRF1podcast, and the Twitter handle, the Twitter feed at the NRF1. Of the Baku circuit, which is coming up, the European Grand Prix. Now, it looked a bit dull the first part of the lap, and then it just weaves through this sort of medieval part of the town. Probably not medieval, but really old part of Baku. Looks amazing, that part of the circuit. So that's going to be really interesting, really narrow. If someone crashes into a, you know, 1,500-year-old building, that's a problem.
There's a castle tower they have.
That's it. I think that's the bit.
So it's a bit... It's going to be a bit weight on it.
Don't hit it!
I saw, I think it was Ted Kravitz did a bit on it the other week on Sky, and he said they're going to put new tarmac down on the old, like, cobbles, and then there's going to be Armco barriers on either side as well. And you think, that's kind of a place where you'd like to see Maldonado just for...
No! Destroying history. Absolutely not. And
He never made any, did he? So let's be
honest. Hey, one in Spain. And finally, we know now the halos. Gosh, we're 20 minutes in and we've only talked about the news. Halos for 2017 they're going to come in, and the aero screens are going to work out a little bit longer because of the aerodynamic issues with the screen, apparently. It's all fiddling with stuff, but it's very interesting going back to 2017 when the new rules kick in. Could make life a little bit more interesting on the grid, possibly. Ron Dennis is convinced that from that point on McLaren will be serious challengers. We will see. It will be fascinating to see. You're smirking, Ped.
I don't like them. Don't like them. Don't like the halos.
No. You're not smirking at McLaren's assertion that 2017 they'll be proper competitive.
Every team should be having the assertion that next year is going to be the year that they're assertive, they're competitive. If it isn't this year, they should be working towards doing it next year. And every team should believe that they can win. Otherwise, why are you even in the game?
Delusion. That's the way forward. Well done, Norfolk's classic team Lotus. They saw their Jim Clark Lotus Type 25 win a remarkable third straight win at the Grand Prix de Monaco Historique. I think that's how you say it.
I saw some
last month
TV, actually.
It was, yeah, Channel 4 ran the highlights, didn't they?
Adrian Newey actually had one of the old Lotuses in his racing. So that was quite interesting.
So that, just to reiterate, we are the Norfolk Formula 1 podcast. That is a Norfolk car built here in Norfolk by a Norfolk team, racing and still winning around Monte Carlo. A legendary Team Lotus chief mechanic Bob Dance prepared the car, and it was XB British Touring Car Championship driver Andy Middlehurst who raced it from pole, taking the win despite a long thrilling dice with a 1964 Ferrari F1. How about that? We'll pop some pictures up on the Facebook page. But that is Norfolk still dominating Formula 1. And I would love at some point to get Bob Dance on this podcast. I'm going to have to make it happen. And we'll do a special interview with him because the guy's a true star. What else? Well, there's only one thing, really. A big thank you. Now, this, of course, you brought this up. You teased it earlier, Rich. Thank you very much. A big thank you to Stephen Bycroft. He is dash cam man. The man who recorded a journey in his car with the NRF1 podcast playing in the background. Never realised, Rich dug it out. I was watching this video. This guy driving around had our podcast on in the background. Amazing. It's Stephen Bycroft. It's one of his favourite podcasts, he said. And he is now a patron of the podcast over at patreon.com. Remember, this is your way. We are changing Formula 1 for the better. All I'm saying is three tyre compound strategies. Kyle Cumbers came up with that and then tweeted it to Paul Hembree. We are changing Formula 1. And we also, of course, are in Norfolk, which is the best place in the world and a true heritage spot for Formula One. And we want to spread the word because I think what we do is really good. We want your help to do it. So if you can find it in your hearts, come join us. Visit Patreon. That's patreon.com/NRF1. You can contribute to us helping spread the podcast word and getting more people involved in this wonderful podcast. And we will all make Formula One a place for the better. Now, as you can probably tell by this point, that was a lot of news. So we haven't got any time for tweets and social, which is bad times. But we now get to talk about the Canadian Grand Prix. Good times! So, a couple of questions for you, everybody. You may have seen these on my notes.
I haven't?
I haven't.
You said that.
I haven't, no, but now you said that, I kind of want to look.
Okay.
I'm not going to.
Lewis Hamilton has won the Canadian Grand Prix how many times?
Three.
Sounds right, but I'll say four just to be different.
And he's right.
Is it four?
It is four, yeah. Can you tell me the years?
2007, 2012, and 2014. And is there another one? I don't know. 2011, maybe?
All right, well, close.
I'm going to say that he's won two of them at McLaren and two of them at Mercedes.
When did you join? Did you join McLaren at Mercedes in 2012?
13, you joined Mercedes.
No, so we won three at McLaren.
Oh, three at McLaren and one with Merck.
2007, 2010, 2012, and then last year. So there we go. There's one more question here. Can you name another driver on the grid who has won the race more than once? Sorry,
Jenson Button.
That sounds right. So Button won.
Maybe I might want to change it, but I'm going to go with Jensen.
I've got another one in my head.
It was Button won 2011, because that was a crazy race.
What a race that was.
Just such a good race.
Who's your other person?
Now I'm thinking there's a couple. Alonso or Kimi?
Brilliant. It's a trick question, because no one has won it more than once. Sorry about that. Lewis has won it four times. No one else on the current grid has won it more than once. I thought that was a very interesting stat, and I think you proved it. Or it was really dull. I can't work it out. But why do you love this race, Ped?
It's fast. It's exciting. There are opportunities to overtake. It's a purpose-built track that's also a purpose-built park. So it kind of reminds me of Australia in that respect. Gets used once a year, so it's usually quite green.
Quite similar kind of racing as well, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. Very close. We were talking about this in the review of Monaco. You know, there aren't those open spaces for you to get out of trouble easily at Canada. It's close. It's quick. You know, the pedigree there is outstanding, obviously, with the Villeneuve's coming from that area and it being named after Gilles Villeneuve. I just love it. I think it's absolutely great. And the Canadian fans are always out in force and they always make that race exactly what it needs to be. And it is fantastic. It throws up thrills and spills all over the place. And the Wall of Champions, of course.
Nah.
You've got to kiss it. You've got to kiss it to get the fastest lap time. And that really separates, you know, the champions from the also-rans.
Well, we'll have a chat. We'll have no doubt have a prediction about the Wall of Champions, but no one ever hits it. That's the thing, that maybe they're just not good enough at the moment, but most people seem to avoid smashing into it. In fact, it's the other wall, isn't it? Because there's two quite similar ones in the chicanes, and it's the first one that people seem to hit more often, whereas you have to be a champion to hit the other one, I suppose. Maybe. And there are some... Oh, sorry, Rich.
No, I was going to say there's a couple, actually. There's 3 and 4 and 8 and 9, turns 3 and 4 and turns 8 and 9, which are quite similar, where you have a right-left chicane. Yeah, both right-left. So that is, like, as you say, they're very similar to the Wall of Champions.
It just seems like this race weekend, there are a few of them over the course of the season, and this is one of them where it's... feels like this is Formula One. You know, there's a soul of Formula One that comes out in certain race weekends, and this is one of them.
Yeah, definitely. It's an amazing circuit because if you look, it was actually built on a man-made island for like an old expedition, like back in the 80s, I think it was. I don't know for sure. But they built it on a man-made island, and then the track is still used today. And I mean, it's what's also brilliant is you have the little groundhogs that run around on the track as well. So you just got that added kind of spark.
Taking life into their own hands. You may have heard in the background, Ped's just had a phone call. He's just answering it now. I'm not sure if it is Pastor Maldonado who's just heard his rant. Or it could be Sebastian Bourdais saying he gets 10% or whatever his next drive is. All right, then. Well, we always like asking this question. Most important weekend for in Canada? Mine is Nico Rosberg, because clearly he had to let through the main rival in the Drivers' Championship. He had to let him through, who was because he was 3 seconds a lap slower. And having, you know, to me, felt like this was the Mercedes push for Nico to finally win the World Championship. I just wonder if those people in the garage are just looking at it thinking, he's not very quick though, is he? And then they just wander over. I've been meaning to write a blog. Whether I'll get to write it this week, I don't know. But to me, Monaco proved why he will never become world champion. And that was my pre-season prediction as well. But that's my version. Who is the most important weekend for, gents?
I'm the other side of the garage to you. I would say Lewis.
You're on the right side then.
Yeah. He's taken that win. He's broken Nico's streak. And he put in a good drive to do it. Let's not take that away from him as well. It's Monaco. It's historic. Canada, very historic. A lot of pedigree there.
He loves it.
And he loves it. And it's his opportunity to really show... do you know what? I can be properly quick on this. And also, if he wins this, and we know there's thrills and spills at Canada, and if somehow Nico doesn't, he's right up there. And we have a battle on our hands. He's leading, I believe, by 1 point, won't he be?
Well, no, this is the thing. If Nico doesn't finish, Hamilton wins the race, he'll be ahead of him by a point.
Yeah.
Mainly because Nico got overtaken on the last corner by Nico Hülkenberg at Monaco. Again, emphasising what a complete f*** up of a race that was. Ridiculous.
Are you going to beep that?
I'll decide. I'll have a think about it. I bleeped a proper word in the other one. So, yeah, we'll see. But I'm still annoyed, as you can tell. How about you, Rich?
Well, it was annoying because when I was thinking of it today, I thought, say Rosberg, because no one else would have thought of that.
Sorry, we should really plan these things.
But I kind of agree with Rosberg after kind of Hamilton took that win in Monaco, and to be honest, really showed him up, as you say, you know, so much faster. It's going to be interesting to see if he can bounce back and try and get to the winning ways and the pace he had. And it's going to be a real tight battle between the Mercedes. But then you've also got to look at Red Bull behind them, and can they do something with their new powerful engine?
Watch engine. TikTok. It could be an important weekend for Formula One or for Canada at Formula One.
Yeah, I did some research actually. It looks quite interesting because we could see a new lap record set.
Whoa! So, in these slow Formula One cars.
Well, that's it. It was the first time, wasn't it, earlier this season, a hybrid car had been quicker than one of the old V8s. We've got the lap record. And I did some research, and The lap record around Canada is Barrichello from 2004, which was a 1:13.622. And the last year, the pole lap was Hamilton, was 1:14.393. So there's a difference of just under 0.8. Now, this season's cars, compared to last season's, have been about 1 or 2 seconds faster on average. So if that is the case and we can get a second faster, then we would have a new lap record.
Brilliant stuff, Ridge. Brilliant.
It's going to be interesting to see if that happens or not.
Rubens Barrichello. I'd rather have him than Pasta.
Yes.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for bringing that up.
It will carry on.
He's a good driver, Barrichello. He didn't want to leave.
He was around for a long time, though. He was getting a bit whiffy by the
veteran. Veteran experience.
Veteran experience. He's got all the experience you need to develop a team. I think that is the thing I love about Canada. It just pushes the cars to the limit, doesn't it? And I think we'll really enjoy some of that this weekend.
And of course, this all relies on whether it's dry or not, because Canada's known also as well for having, a bit like Interlagos, I suppose you could say Silverstone as well, races which...
its own little weather pattern, doesn't it?
Yeah. Which within minutes, it can go from being bright and sunny to be downpours. So.
The great thing about Canada is it's a street circuit, but people don't view it as a street circuit. And so people get bit. People just get... it takes a chunk out of them if they even take their eye off it for a second. I love it.
We love this track. Ped loves this track as much as he loves Pasto Maldonado. More. Which means we need to predict what's going to happen on this track. Now, quickly, let me just bring you up to date with what happened in Monaco. Steve had an even different kind of weekend for it, although he did predict that there would be a safety car and that there would be a safety car. I mean, it started behind the safety car, so he did well. Rich, you had a cracking weekend of it around Monaco. You said two in a row, is it? He's on form. You said there would be a front wing lost in the race at the hairpin, which I think it was Kimi, wasn't it? Kimi, who lost his... and then he just kept going. Three different teams on the podium, correct. Red flag in qualifying in the race, which there was in quali quite early on too. And that Ricciardo would finish ahead of Verstappen. Also, you were half right on the other one, but I couldn't give it to you. That McLaren and Renault would pick up a point each. Close. Kyle came back with half, pretty much. I did slightly better, happy especially with saying that Rosberg would not win the race and that Verstappen would DNF because he'd be a bit full of himself and that Ricciardo would be on the podium. Happy with that. Johnny did okay-ish, not so bad. Couple in there. Ricciardo ahead of Verstappen was a good one. Both Button and Alonso in the top 10. Great shout there. Kieran Cousins back involved. Three different teams on the podium. Great call there as well. With Ricciardo to pass Vettel in the Drivers' Championship, which happened too. And we had a new entry from... I apologise profusely if I'm not pronouncing this right. Please correct me on Twitter. Hey, Reese in Sweden. Now, he did make these predictions after FP1 began, but that was because I hadn't reiterated that we must have an FP1 start cutoff point for all the predictions, but I let him off. And he did really well too, not more than 17 cars finishing, and the fact that there would be no first corner accident, which was helped, of course, by the safety car start. So a pretty decent start. It leaves the standings. Kyle is back on top now, replacing Timme, who's gone a little bit quiet on the predictions front. I think he thought if he didn't predict anything, he'd just stay out in the lead as we all suffered. Doesn't work like that, Timme. This algorithm is very, very specific. But Kyle, top now. Timme, second. Steve, still third. I'm up to fourth, which I'm happy with. Sam Todd drops to fifth. Rich, I think you were sort of 11th, 10th before. You're now up to sixth. Which is good progress. Ped, a little bit of a tricky few weeks. But now is your time to shine.
Yeah. As you say, the algorithm doesn't help those people that miss out on their predictions. But I'm not bottom, which I find amazing.
Don't tell DT.
I know, that's a worry, DT.
Poor DT, get your predictions in, DT. I know you're working, but there's no excuse. Ped, give us your predictions for Canada.
My predictions for Canada. I'm going with a Lewis win. In fact, I'm going to go Lewis trifecta. So I'm going to go Lewis win, Lewis pole, and Lewis fastest lap. Now he's going to get all three. If he gets all three, I want a point for all three.
So and three separate predictions.
Three separate predictions.
You never kudos point if he does all three.
Oh, thank you. Bold. I'm going to say no points for McLaren. But I'm going to say double points for Haas.
Oh, is that a new rule? Bernie, double points for Haas.
Is that a new... what? I don't know.
Like double points finish, when he just made it up. Oh, Haas, okay. You get double points this race.
Right, okay. Both Haas cars finishing in the points. How's that? And then, so double points finish for Haas. No points for McLaren. Hamilton to do the trifecta. And let's have one for the Saturday. Let's have another quali. I think we'll get a red flag in quali, because I think someone's going to lose it in a wall big style. I think we'll get a red flag in quali.
Big styly. Well done. Happy with those?
Happy with those.
He's happy with those. Rich?
I just realised that could be quite an interesting rule. Give each team a joker to play, and that is double points for whatever race.
Don't tell Bernie.
Joker races. Oh, but you have to have, like, both cars have to finish in the points for it to take effect.
I tell you, the series.
It's a team joker, not an individual driver joker. Yeah. And that could vault you up the championship. We're going to tweet that.
We'll tweet it.
Because we're changing Formula One, Michael.
Yeah, tweeted F1. The thing is, if they did bring that in, would anyone like us?
Some people might.
Some would.
The teams might.
I'd like to know if people would like the joker rule.
You could have Force India, who have obviously notoriously gone well around Spa. They could say, okay, we'll play ours for Spa. You could have McLaren, who at the minute would do quite well around street circuits where it's a bit slow and not so power efficient. They'd play theirs there. Mercedes would just laugh and do whatever they want. You could have quite a bit of fun.
I think it's a great idea. I quite like it. Oh, God.
Maybe you give it to any teams that don't finish in the top three of the constructors the previous year. Because then you will get it. Like, if you do play it well, you'll be in the top three. That means that Red Bull next year might get to use it, so it'll mix it up a bit.
It's an amazing idea. I love that. Yeah. Anyway, we'll tweet it. We'll do all our tweets. This is why you need to contribute to patreon.com/NRF1. We are changing F1 for the better. And the more people that hear ideas like this, the better Formula One will be for everyone, not just for us in Norfolk. Job done. Rich, your predictions.
Yeah, predictions. Back on the subject it was meant to be on. But firstly, I'm going to say wet or intermediate tyres to be used in at least one session. So there'll be some rain of some sort. And
oh, Canada. That's not my headline. That was from Joe Saywood, I think. Off of the Grand Prix Plus. Anyway, carry on.
And I'm going to say at least one safety car period. I'm going to also say first corner, first lap, there will be a crash of some sort. It's notorious.
Right.
It's that left, right they've got. We've seen crashes there in the past. I think Fisichella, if I remember rightly, might have gone over the top of someone or someone over the top of him. He crashed quite a lot. But
so a crash retirement on the first lap?
I'm just going to say first corner crash. I'm not going to be so bold to say retirement. I'm going to say crash.
So what level of contact are we calling a crash?
There will be damage to a car and one car will end up in the gravel.
Okay. So one car off the racing lines, one car outside of the racing area, off the track, and visible damage to another car. Both of those things have to happen for that to be true, Michael? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, well, I think we'll maybe have a steward's inquiry afterwards as to whether it's an actual crash or not. But yeah, fair enough. I love these. There's always Rich. Always.
You've got to go big, you know?
Yeah!
I'm going to say Williams, double points finish. Could be quite a good weekend for them. They've got a pretty quick car in a straight line, and of course Canada's very quick track. And this is a big one. I'm thinking a bit of carnage, and again, speed in a straight line. I'm going to say Manor will get a top 10 finish.
Oh, that's huge, Rich. That's massive.
Well, you can have a kudos point for that, but
I don't know if I 100% believe it myself, but if you don't believe, these things won't happen.
I've just noticed on your phone you've got all the different podcast predictions that you've made, haven't you, with little crosses and ticks on them?
Yeah, that's what I do to keep up to date as I go, so I know what I've got.
What a top man. I haven't even thought about them.
My phone is completely blank. I have literally just thought these up off the top of my head when you asked me, Michael.
Which is something I'm about to do. Is that all, Rich? Happy?
Yeah, definitely.
Look at how happy he is, or listen to how happy he is. Okay, well, I'm going to say it's going to be an all Mercedes podium, as in Mercedes powered cars. I don't think you'll see a watch engine or any other engines on the podium, which is of course a bit of a disappointment for Ferrari. I think we will see Fernando Alonso in the top eight somehow. I don't know how he's going to manage that, but he's going to pull it off. I think we will once again see Ricciardo finish ahead of Verstappen. I think he's going to really burst that bubble of dear Max. I think he's a man on a mission, Daniel, now. Jolyon Palmer is actually going to finish the race, because it's been a while, I think. I want to make a Sauber prediction.
Ooh. Are they still a thing?
Well, I don't know if they've maybe gone to war properly. I think there will be more controversy. I'm just trying to work out how I can predict that, but I don't think they'll listen. So I want to say they'll drive into each other again, but I don't think they will.
Do you
not? I'd say it's probably a fair prediction. If they're line astern, mate, I'd say it's a fair shout.
We should be less harsh, because we've got a Swedish follower making predictions, and of course Ericsson's the one Swedish driver on the grid for Sauber. Well, and
I don't really blame him. Nasser kept him behind him when he'd been told to let him through, and not only that, he kept sort of half opening the door and then closing it. It was almost like he enticed Ericsson. So I didn't blame Marcus for being annoyed, to be honest. The thing Felipe Nasr probably deserved was a car up his ass. There we go. So how about, I think that Felipe... Well, no, all right, let's flip that then. I think that Marcus Ericsson will finish above Felipe in the qualifying and in the race. There you go, there's a little one. We'll see how that goes. Who retires first? Depends who hits for each other first, I suppose. And Sergio Perez is in top form, and he's in a Mercedes-powered car, so let's say Sergio top five. Boom. And I think that probably does it, doesn't it, really?
Nice,
happy, I'm happy, everyone's happy. Brilliant! Right, then, well, let's wrap this up then, because that's a lot of stuff. We will be back, of course, after Canada. We will review all the action, as usual, in our podcast. Keep an eye on the website, nrf1.uk. Hopefully, we'll have some pre-race betting tips from Carl Cumbers, which are always good value to look at. I always put just a small token amount on to see if we can get a little extra, slightly bigger token amount back. And it's always good value because Carl knows what he's talking about. I suspect we'll get some predictions from him. We'll have to see. And there'll be other blogs as well. If I get my Rosberg rant out in a blog, you'll certainly know about it. And the way to find out is to check in at nrf1.uk, but also, as I said, the Facebook page, facebook.com/nrf1podcast, or the Twitter feed at the NRF1. And as always, if you want to get in touch, tweet us your views, the things you want us to discuss on the podcast, all that sort of stuff, the email address, if you want to do it by email, is nrf1podcast@gmail.com. As I said, we'll be back after all the action in Montreal. Almost got my Mons modelled up there. Montreal, that's where it is. A big thank you to the panel today. Ped, Rich, thank you so much for your time. Thanks to all of you for listening. We so very much appreciate it. And there are more of you than ever before, which is fantastic news. Let's change Formula One for the better. I'm sounding like a politician here, aren't I? I'm going to have to run for FIA presidency. Don't think there's any chance of that happening.
You're not corrupt enough.
We need quite a lot of Patreon support, I think, to make that happen. I imagine John Tott's got more than, you know, 20 quid.
Yeah, but he probably doesn't have as many followers as we do.
People don't like him as much. We like you, John.
We love you. Come and be a guest.
Come on the pod. We'd love it. Anyway, thanks, everyone. We'll see you on the other side of Canada. Enjoy it. Bye for now.